Welcome to the Project Love podcast. I'm Selena Barker.
And I'm Vicky Pevitt. In these podcasts, we explore what it takes to create a life, relationship, and career you love.
And not just one that looks good on the outside, but one that feels good on the inside.
Hello, and welcome to another Project Love podcast episode. It's Selena here today, and I am flying solo. Now, normally when Vicky and I fly solo, we invite a guest onto the show. But this time, for the first time, I'm not inviting a guest on. It's just you and me. And the reason is this week is a big celebration week because, first of all, today, goodbye 2020, hello 2021 is officially on sale. So if you want to get your copy, if you haven't got to your copy yet, then head on over to the goodbyehellojournal.com and you'll find out all the different places that you can get that online, and you will start to find out where you can get it offline as well, particularly here in the UK. We are so excited. We think this is going to be a big year, I think, of many, many people wishing to say a proper farewell to 2020. But what has also happened this week, which for me has been a big week for celebration, is finally my Audible original series is out. It is called The Career Change Coach, and you get to hear me coach six people through a career change journey. So I recorded this at the end of last year, over about a couple of months, and I had a big session at the start with each of them. And I had a big session at the end with each of them. And in the middle, the production team that I was doing it with organized for them to go and try something out, something that had come out of the first session that we thought would really help them on their journey. So it was such an amazing experience. Each of the people that we found to go on this journey was so brilliant, so gorgeous. It was such an honor to do. So you get to hear me, bits of me actually coaching them. And then you also get to hear me kind of take a step back and talk about the kind of some of the universal lessons that are coming up with each person that you can learn from that will help you on your career change journey. So I'm still pinching myself that I have an Audible original series. So yeah, I'm feeling very excited. I'm feeling very grateful. And I wanted to spend today celebrating this with you by talking about careers and creating a career that you love and sharing with you about my own career journey and how I've become a coach. But more than that, how I've approached my career. For me, my career is one of the big loves of my life. I have felt that ever since I decided to quit employment, being an employed person, and decided to really create my own career path off the beaten track. And I did that early on. I left university, had no idea what I wanted to do, but I did know I was passionate about the environment. So I decided I wanted to do something in that. I wanted to engage people in caring for the environment, looking after the environment. I did a lot of protesting in those days. And so I went and worked for the Ecologist magazine and somehow blagged my way to being the marketing manager there. And that was supposed to be my dream job. That was literally ticked all the boxes. But even that, even something that had at the heart of it, something I was so passionate about, there were too many ingredients in that that I was just like, I can't do this. I can't do this for the next 5 years, let alone the rest of my life. And what I was referring to was working in an office, a 9-to-5 day every day, having to turn up the same time every day, having to sit at the same desk every day. What I also really didn't want to be doing for the rest of my life was following someone else's instructions and being told what to do. I had been such a good girl throughout my whole education. I had followed the rules. I'd done what I was told. And I think I was sort of borderline depressed, certainly anxious as a child. I did not enjoy school. I found it stifling. I found it numbing. I just even talking about it now, it just, oh, my energy nosedives. And I had always, I'd spent those years in my childhood, in my school years, kind of going, once you're, you just need to get through your education, then you'll be free. Like that was my light at the end of the tunnel. So to finally get through that and then step into a world which felt wildly similar to being back at school and being told what to do and not having freedom, that for the first time in my life, I was like, F this. I am done. I am done. The rebel in me came up and burst out in my life. And she has been there ever since. And I love her. And I am so grateful for her, to her for having awakened in me. She is like, yeah, she's my inspiration. She is my girl by my side saying, you don't have to follow, you don't have to do what they're doing. Some of this stuff stinks and you do not have to be a part of it. And I think it is, I encourage people to let the rebel out. We need to rebel. We need revolution. Everything from the way that we work, the toxic work cultures that we're in, to the racism, the systemic racism that is being having a light shone on it at the moment. Like everything, sexism in the workplace, the gender inequality. I took one sniff of that and I was just like, oh, no way. Nope. I felt it the moment I stepped into the world of work. And I had been in a very privileged position of being protected from that as I grew up and being told, yes, you're a woman. You can do it. You can do just as, you know, achieve just as much as the men. And then I got into the world of work, the real world, and I discovered that was not the vibe at all. And I could feel the difference instantly in the way I was spoken to and the way I was treated. And I was just like, I'm out of here. I'm done. I am done. Every cell in my body, I felt like a caged animal. So I lasted, I don't reckon it was about a year, if that, in the world of employment. And I just quit it. I quit. I didn't have anything else to go to. I remember saying to my parents, who were horrified that I had done that. Finally, they were like, okay, great. So she's sorted. She's stable. She's getting a career in marketing. This is great news. Job done. And suddenly I was just like, I've quit. I don't have another job to go to. This is not the world for me. All I know is what I want to do is write and paint. And I remember the look of horror on my mother's face being like, oh God, no. Now, I did not attempt to earn a living solely from writing and painting. In fact, I didn't attempt to earn a living from any of that at all. What I decided to do was to give myself 6 months to experiment and explore. And the challenge I set myself was to find ways of earning a living so that I could cover my rent and my bills and kind of basic living expenses. In those days, I was in my 20s. I could live on a tiny shoestring when it came to money. But I wanted to find ways of doing it where I was able to have fun and it could be short term. And ultimately, I wanted to have a go at a portfolio career and earning income in different ways. So I did all sorts of things. I sold burritos from an East London market for my friend's burrito van. I sold ice creams and brownies at festivals all over the UK. I taught Spanish in offices. I made a line of jewellery, ceramic jewellery. It was a short-lived business, lasted 6 weeks. That's for another story. I did events. I did events that took me from Barcelona to Athens to San Francisco. I also did some other jobs here and there to make money that were less interesting and fun. But what I learned was that no matter what, I could always find ways to make money. And I also really started to discover what it was that I enjoyed doing. And I set myself free from this idea that the only way to make money was through being employed by someone else, albeit many of those jobs, I was actually being employed by people, but I had a lot more freedom over when I did it and for how long. And I started finding ways of making money off my own bat. So teaching Spanish, making jewelry. And that honestly, that really started to set me free and help me to see that there was a way of earning a living outside of what I had been taught, that you get employed, you work in an office, that's how we work. Now, by this point, I had started really thinking a lot about this way of working that we were being told was the way, and questioning it, and really feeling that there was another way. I did not have a lot of examples around me of people who were creating their own careers, doing things that they loved. I didn't even have a lot of examples of people around me who were running their own businesses. That was not the world I was part of. And so I decided to go out there and find them. And I remember started saying to people, I know that there's another world out there of people who are enjoying careers that they love, who have created careers for themselves that they love. I'm going to go and find those people. I'm going to go and learn from them. I'm going to create a career for myself that I love. And then I'm going to come back. I'm going to teach anyone else who wants the same how they can do it too. And I remember to this day saying that to someone. And I remember who it was, because he turned around and said, oh my God, you need to meet my brother, because he's starting this thing that helps people change careers. So I met up with him, Rich Alderson. And a year later, we launched Career Shifters, which still exists today. And for the next 3 years, I was the content director, and I spent as much time as I could interviewing successful career changers, interviewing career change coaches. Bear in mind, this was more than 10 years ago, by the way, when not many people changed career. It was very much a time, this was just as the recession was hitting. And even being an entrepreneur is a bit of a dirty word. It was a bit of like slacker. It wasn't what it is today. You did not have all the people online starting up businesses that we have today. Anyway, so I spent about 3 years really understanding what it took to make a successful career change. We ran workshops. I wrote a blog every week all about career change. I interviewed people. I shared their stories. And eventually I wrote the Career Shifter's Guide to Career Change. So I turned it into like, right, what is this journey and how to guide people through it? And I remember at the time, the career coaches that I met, that I ran workshops with, used to say to me, you know, I think you really suit being a career coach. I was like, really? What is it? Just like a lot of talking. And they'd look at me and be like, it's a little more than that, but thanks. And eventually I did give it a go. And I gave it a go because I needed to make more money. And so I thought, I'm going to give it a try. People keep suggesting I do it. I had actually experienced life coaching, and I found it to be incredible, an extraordinary experience. It was like talking to a witch. I was in the best possible way, because I love witches. I call people witches when I say people have extraordinary intuition, who can read you and who can understand things you haven't even said. And I had found it amazing. So there was always a little part of me that probably, I think, loved the idea of doing that, but not really feeling like, is that really, can that be a career? Like, it just sounds a little bit too magical, too much like fun and just chatting for it to be a real career. And it's so interesting now, of course, I know what, when people do that, it's because we have this narrative that work is supposed to be hard. So if it feels too easy, it can't be work. And that was what was going on for me when it came to coaching. It felt too unlike work, too enjoyable for it to be allowed to be something I could make money from. But in the end, it was a need for money that had me go and give it a try. So I had a few guinea pigs. To this day, I get people to do the same thing when they come to me and they say, or they discover that they want to be a coach. The first thing you do before you even do any coaching training, and sometimes coaching training is a really valuable, beneficial thing to do, but it's, in my book, it's not always necessary. Sometimes people come with so much experience in the thing they want to coach in that they don't need to get training. But always, regardless, just to try it out, what I get people to do is try it out on a couple of people, a couple of guinea pigs, people who are willing to have you give it a go on them and give you feedback at the end of it, the bits that they really enjoyed, and was there anything that they would like more of or less of? And ultimately for you to give it a go and see how you enjoy it. So that's what I did. And I remember the first person, a friend of mine, I was like, oh God, I don't know, that felt a bit hard. And the second person I did it with, I was like, this is the work I was born to do. That was incredible. So there's a lesson that, you know, you need to try things out a few times. Don't just try it once. And the first pancake is usually a bit of a mess, isn't it, in life? So yeah, try things out a couple of times before making a decision. But that second experience I had of coaching, of one session, each of them, was what came out of me was my intuition. As I've always had a very strong intuitive side, as a child, that caused a lot of my anxiety. It brought up a lot of fear, a lot of uncertainty, and sensing things as a sensitive child that felt a lot and read a lot under the surface, things that were denied on the surface. I fed off people's emotions. I could feel the pain and the unhappiness underneath people. And that was a terrifying world to live in. What I didn't realize was that could be a really valuable and practical tool when you learn how to use it and when you learn how to put boundaries so that you're not feeling everything around you. That's for a whole different topic, actually, how to do that. And actually, I come from a long line of very intuitive women. My mother and my grandmother have very strong intuition, but my great-grandmother really used hers in a practical way. And I knew this historically, and it always kind of fascinated me. But here for the first time, I was realizing that I could use my intuition, my ability to read what was under the surface, and use it in a practical way to help this person unlock what was there, and to really get a feel for what makes them come alive. Hang on, where is this the shitty committee talking or other people's opinions coming through? And where is this really coming from you, coming from your heart? And using that tuning in to find their real truth and what really makes them come alive to help guide them and facilitate their journey of discovering and figuring things out, cutting through the confusion. And that's where my journey as a coach began. And I have never, ever looked back. And coaching has been at the core of what I do ever since then. So it's been over a decade now, which is amazing to me. But as well as that, I've always made sure my career has always been and always needs to be a source of play, of pleasure, of creativity, of fun, of freedom, of enjoyment, of love, of connection. And I've literally listed there my core values. So I've always made sure that my career has at the heart of it my core values. And if they aren't being played out in my career, then I need to adjust and I need to evolve. And I've definitely seen my career as a playground to dream and bring those dreams to life. And one of those dreams, of course, is the Goodbye Hello Journal. If you don't know the story about that, that was something I first created, I think it was 10 years ago, actually, this year. And I created it because I needed it. I wanted something that would help me to reflect on the year I'd just been through and then to really step into the new year with an intention, clear on what I wanted to make that year all about. And it was something I shared with friends and with clients at the time. And then over the years, it picked up popularity and people were like, are you going to do that thing again? And I, at some point, I started to have a vision that I one day wanted this to be a real book that people would hold in their hands. Project Love started. Vicky and I decided, okay, let's start giving this as an end of year gift in a sort of PDF format to our followers and to our clients. And then we decided to go after the my dream of turning this into a book, making it our dream. And we ran this Kickstarter and we went over our target, and books went out to like 28 countries around the world. Thanks to Kate, who was working with us at the time, who posted every single one of those in long Christmas queues at the post office, never again. But it was so exciting to see that dream come true. And now to be able to have last year, to have seen it in Oliver Bonus and ASOS and at the Tate Modern in the UK, right on the till front. It's like, yeah. And more than anything, to know and to see our Goodbye Hello collections building up on our bookshelf. And I can't wait to see 10 years spanning of that and for you to have it on your bookshelf as well. That's one of many dreams that I have brought to life over the years. Another one was to quit my life in London when I was 31. I was like, this isn't the life for me anymore. There's something else out for me out there. I wanted to venture. I wanted to feel more alive. I felt too anxious in the city. I reduced all my possessions to 100 things. I bought a camper van and I traveled around the UK living and working from my beautiful yellow camper van, Beryl. It was one of the most extraordinary adventures of my life. And it started as this crazy pipe dream that I decided I got to practice what I preach. I believe in daring to dream, taking your dreams seriously, and living your life by bringing your dreams to life one project at a time. And so I was like, I've got to do this. It was hands down the most amazing and life-changing adventure of my life. The freedom. I'm recording this right now, looking actually at the hills in Devon. I'm down in Devon at the moment. Hills that I probably drove over in that camper van. Yeah, that was it. It really, at that time, I really experienced what is possible when you decide to be the fairy godmother in your own life and to follow your dreams and take your dreams seriously. I honestly believe that there's no greater fulfillment than having an idea and then making it a reality, having a dream and then making it a reality. That for me is the magic that we have, the unique magic that we have as human beings. And so it is so deeply embedded in our human nature to do that, that when we don't, I feel often that is why people find themselves feeling lost and unfulfilled in life, because they're not listening to their dreams, listening to their heart and their soul and taking those dreams seriously and making them happen. They don't realize the power they have to do that. And I'm not necessarily saying you have to go after big dreams. We don't all have to quit our lives and buy a camper van, unless you want to. I couldn't do that now. Or I could do that now if my partner were on board with it as well. And if I really, really wanted it, because it was a lot of effort involved. But even taking the small dreams seriously and bringing those to life, even if in a small way to start with, you will experience a fulfillment and a deep, deep aliveness and satisfaction when you do that, that you won't find in anything else. So I am as passionate to this day about listening to your dreams and bringing those dreams to life and making them a reality as I ever have been. Not only because it's something that is key to your own happiness and fulfillment, but if you want to see change happening in the world, then that is also how it's going to happen, by you having a vision for the change you want to see and bringing about that change, being part of that change through your actions. So, yeah, watch this space. There will be more on that eventually. So I guess that really has been at the heart of my career, this belief in listening to your own dreams and going through that cycle of taking the time to tune in, taking that time to allow the dreams to emerge, because they're not immediately there. Sometimes I have to let it percolate and reconnect with myself, connect with different sides of myself. Sometimes the dream will come up at first and I'll be like, oof, that I know that's the dream that's coming forward, but there's a large part of me that doesn't believe that that's even possible. Then there's work to do there, clearing the block so that my belief is aligned with the dream. Because if you don't believe in the dream, it's going to be very hard for you to make it happen because you won't put in the effort, you won't take the actions, you won't make the choices that are aligned with that dream because deep down you don't really think it's going to happen. So that's how things can remain a pipe dream. So in creating a life that you love and creating a career that you love, there's so much personal development work to do. It's such a playground and platform for growth when you run your own business and when you are committed to having a career that you love. And when you're committed to having a life that you love, there is so much healing that needs to be done in order to enable that to happen. And I think for me, the reason I still love my career today is because I've never felt that there is a destination. I've never felt like, well, here I am. This is me set for the rest of my life. I don't believe there, but I've never believed in, for me, for someone like me, there being a job for life. Oh, I mean, that sounds like a prison to me. Some people will enjoy that. It's so much to do with personality type and values. It's a lot of what I do when I work with people is the first thing I do if you go on a coaching journey with me is that I will get you to do a personality profiling test, a Jungian one, like Myers-Briggs, if you've heard of Myers-Briggs. And that's because we, all of us have different tendencies and different preferences and different energies that, so which means that for me, running a business really suits me. For other people, it won't suit them at all. They will not enjoy that challenge. Challenges in life need to be fun. They need to make you feel alive. If they are paralyzing and they just don't do anything to help you to grow and to motivate you, then that's usually not the right challenge to commit to yourself to. So for me, the key has always been allowing my career path to evolve, allowing myself to take a step back regularly, every year, every few years, every few months. I see life as a series of projects. I see life as a series of chapters. And I don't determine how long a chapter is going to be, but I know when a chapter is coming to an end. I could feel it. I could feel that I'm ready for something new, ready for a new challenge, ready for a new creative project, ready for a new side of me to come forth. And that's definitely happening now, now that I've had this amazing opportunity with the Audible original series. And I've got a book, Burnt Out, coming out next year, April 2021, which is finishing up right now, which is also really exciting, and other opportunities coming up. And so that's opening up new avenues, new pathways that I'm excited to see where they can go, where I can, what journeys they can take me on, and the different ways that I can be of service and help people to create lives and careers that they love, because that is what I'm here for. That is what I feel I was born to do. It is an honor. It's a privilege. It feels like I get to be a part of magic every day. It really does. Every single career change journey I go on with people, it feels like a privilege. It feels like a magical, transformative journey. I don't think everyone needs to feel like that about their career. I don't feel that everyone needs to feel that their career is a calling. But if you do have a calling, and a calling to be of service to the world in a certain way, then you need to listen to that calling, because otherwise it will sit there knocking at you from the inside, getting you to pay attention until you listen and follow it. But I also don't believe that everyone needs to feel that passionately about their career. But I do believe that your career needs to be something that makes you feel good, that has you doing the things that make you come alive, that has you doing things that interest you, that fascinate you, that you find easy to do, that has you playing to your strengths. I also have a lot to say on the topic of our modern day work culture, particularly having written this book on burnout. We've got a lot of work to do there. That will be for another episode. But anyone who's listening to this podcast is a person with privilege, is a lucky person. You have choice, you have freedom. And often people can say, oh, maybe I'm just being picky. Maybe I'm asking too much. I'm lucky. I've got a job. It's paying the bills. Perhaps I should just settle with that. But actually, when you're doing work that lights you up, when you're doing work that brings you pleasure, enjoyment, satisfaction, that has you going home at the end of the day, feeling good, feeling like you've done something that was felt worthwhile to you, that felt meaningful, you will have so much more to give to the world. You will have so much more energy to give to the people around you, to the people that you love, to your community, to the world around you. Fulfilled people are the people that have the most to give to the world around them. So it's not just about you. It's not a selfish thing. People get so hung up on this that, you know, maybe they're being picky. Maybe they shouldn't be asking for so much. Somehow it's greedy. You should be lucky you've got a job, da 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 da. If you feel like there is more to life than this, if you are miserable in your career, if it makes you lie awake at night, unhappy, unfulfilled, depressed, anxious, then you can change that. You can change that. You absolutely can change that. So listen to this Audible series. There will be links in selenabarker.com/careerchangecoach, and you'll find links there. And I would be so grateful if you do buy it and listen, if you would leave a review, because you know what a difference those make, and it will make my day to see some reviews from you guys there. And I'm not going to pretend that this isn't a hugely big deal for me to have an Audible original series all about career change. I would also be lying if I said I wasn't a little bit nervous about people hearing it. I hope that you enjoy it. I hope you do. I loved making it. It was one almighty challenge, coaching that many people in a short space of time and being recorded at the same time. But yeah, it was. And the team at Listen were amazing. I absolutely loved collaborating and creating something with this just brilliant production team. So yeah, I'm a little lost for words. I'm actually telling you that I've got an Audible original series. But anyway, I do. And it happened. And it's a dream come true. So I hope you enjoy it. Please leave a review if you like it. And thank you for listening to my first solo podcast episode. Lots of love.
You've been listening to the Project Love podcast. We really hope you enjoy this episode. And if you did, then come and subscribe on iTunes, and we'll deliver each new episode straight to your device. And we would love it if you would leave us a review to help us spread the love far and wide. And if you can't think of anything to write, then just tap 5 stars and say, best podcast ever. Thank you.